I've been to this lake 1,000 times before, but today felt strangely familiar for some reason. Have you ever experienced déjà vu, a term that describes the uncanny sensation that you've already experienced something, even when you know you never have? It's a French phrase that translates literally as already seen, and many people interpret it in a paranormal context, as a precognition or a sign, even though the concept is largely dismissed by mainstream science. Of course, the exception being in the world of quantum physics, where some scientists speculate that déjà vu may be a byproduct of there being multiple universes, or a multiverse, a word coined by physicist Steven Weinberg, who said, quote, "If you're inside your living room listening to the BBC radio, that radio is tuned to one frequency. But in your living room, there are all frequencies, Radio Cuba, Radio Moscow, the top 40 rock stations. All these radio frequencies are vibrating inside your living room, but your radio is only tuned to one frequency." So the same way that sometimes, for whatever reason, we hear two signals on our radio at once, maybe with déjà vu, we're experiencing the bleed-through of another universe, or as others have speculated, another timeline.
What did you just say?
Nothing, just a little déjà vu.
Déjà vu is usually a glitch in the Matrix.
The concept behind the movie The Matrix is that there's more to reality than we're aware, and that humanity is unknowingly trapped inside a simulated reality, one designed to distract the population while it's being covertly used as an energy source, unaware of the real world. The idea that the world we live in is an illusion, and that there's another existence, as real, if not more so, is prevalent in many cultures around the world. Some Native American beliefs about dreams are that they're an extension of reality, an opportunity to travel to other realms and communicate with ancestors and spirit guides in a dream state. In some cases, a shaman or medicine man will attempt to heal the soul by inducing altered states through drums, prolonged dance, breath work, and sometimes psychedelic substances to bring about a trance or lucid dream. Some consider this astral travel, and the traditional view is that it's not our bodies or minds that dream, but our souls that dream and undergo the entire experience. Astral travel is a term describing a technique by which the soul can allegedly leave the body for a temporary period of time, fully conscious, and travel to the astral plane where it can communicate with other souls or other entities to receive soul guidance. Many Native American traditions believe that life is one big dream, similar to Hinduism and the Buddhist concept of Maya, or an illusion which makes the world appear as duality. In Celtic mythology, the other world is a realm of deities and possibly also of the dead. It is usually described as a supernatural realm of everlasting youth, beauty, health, abundance, and joy. Samhain is a pagan religious festival originating from an ancient Celtic spiritual tradition, usually celebrated from October 31st to November 1st, to welcome in the harvest, when barriers between the physical world and the spirit world break down, allowing more interaction between humans and inhabitants of the other world. And because the Celts believed that the barrier between the worlds was breachable during Samhain, they prepared offerings that were left outside villages and fields for fairies or ancestors that might cross over during this time as well. Celts would dress as animals and monsters so that fairies were not tempted to kidnap them. As Christianity gained a foothold in pagan communities, church leaders attempted to reframe Samhain as a Christian celebration. It didn't really work. October 31st became known as All Hallows' Eve, or Halloween, and contained much of the traditional pagan practices before being adopted in 19th century America through Irish immigrants bringing their tradition across the ocean. Thank you. Americans began to dress up in costumes and go house to house asking for candy, a practice that eventually became today's trick-or-treat tradition. In the late 1800s, there was a move in America to mold Halloween into a holiday more about community and neighborly get-togethers than about ghosts, pagan rituals, or what some label as witchcraft. By the 1920s and 30s, Halloween had become a secular holiday with neighborhood parties and parades, losing most of its superstitious and religious overtones. That said, several thousand years ago, it was regarded as the witch's Sabbath, and not only included animal sacrifice, such as cattle, but druids were also known to conduct human sacrifice as well. While some of the claims are disputed, such as those involving the cannibalism of children, or the drinking of sacrificed human blood, or even the hollowed-out pumpkins being filled with human fat from previous sacrifices and lit, there are some traditions which are more substantiated, but no less horrific. Druids allegedly had many ways of sacrificing humans, one of which was packing them into a giant burning effigy of a man. Julius Caesar himself said that the Gauls built the effigies out of sticks and placed living men inside, then set them on fire to pay tribute to the gods, explaining that the Druids usually used those found guilty of crimes deserving death, as they pleased the gods more, but they sometimes also used slaves. While some will say that Caesar was putting out political propaganda, which may be the case, other Roman writers of the time also described human sacrifice among the Celts, such as Cicero, Suetonius, Tacitus, and Pliny the Elder. Strabo was a Greek geographer and philosopher that also described the burning wicker man as one of the many ways the Druids of Gaul performed sacrifices. There are many festivals around the world where the burning of gigantic human effigies is still a tradition, though obviously without any sacrifice. One of the most famous in recent times is held annually since 1986 in northwestern Nevada, but rather than being on Halloween, the event takes place around Labor Day.
That's fucking awesome. This is a sick burn.
Wow, look at the roof going.
ancient Celts marked Samhain as the most significant of the four quarterly fire festivals, where Druid priests would light a community fire using a wheel that would spark flames. The wheel was considered a representation of the sun and used along with prayers. There's a popular Irish Christian folktale associated with the jack-o'-lantern, which in folklore is said to represent a soul who has been denied entry into both heaven and hell. En route home after a night's drinking, Jack encounters the devil and tricks him into climbing a tree. A quick-thinking Jack etches the sign of the cross into the bark, thus trapping the devil. Jack strikes a bargain that Satan can never claim his soul. After a life of sin, drink, and mendacity, Jack is refused entry into heaven when he dies. Keeping his promise, the devil refuses to let Jack into hell and throws a live coal straight from the fires of hell at him. It was a cold night, so Jack places the coal in a hollowed-out turnip to stop it from going out, since which time Jack and his lantern have been roaming looking for a place to rest. In Ireland and Scotland, the turnip has traditionally been carved during Halloween, but immigrants to North America use the native pumpkin, which is both much softer and much larger, making it easier to carve than a turnip. The American tradition of carving pumpkins is recorded in 1837 and was originally associated with harvest time in general, not becoming specifically associated with Halloween until the mid to late 19th century. In England, from the medieval period up until the 1930s, people practiced the Christian custom of souling on Halloween, which involved groups of soulers, both Protestant and Catholic, going from parish to parish, begging the rich for soul cakes in exchange for praying for the souls of the givers and their friends. In the Philippines, the practice of souling is called Pangangawala and is practiced on All Hallows Eve among children in rural areas. People drape themselves in white cloths to represent souls and then visit houses where they sing in return for prayers and sweets. Another symbolic activity you might see during Halloween is apple bobbing, where participants dunk their head into a large tub of water and try to fish out the apples using their teeth or a fork in their mouth without the use of their hands. According to the 1864 Chambers Book of Days, apple bobbing has long been associated with predictions of future love, summoning a husband, and celebrating female fertility. There's perhaps no night of the year which the popular imagination has stamped with more peculiar character than the evening of 31st of October, known as All Hallows Eve or Halloween. It is clearly a relic of pagan times, for there's nothing in the church observance of the ensuing day of All Saints to have originated with such extraordinary notions as are connected with this celebrated festival, or such remarkable practices as those by which it distinguishes. When you slice open an apple, the seeds and fibrous membrane that make up the core are arranged in a pentagram, a five-pointed star, which according to many occultists represents the four elements, earth, water, wind, fire, plus the fifth element, spirit or ether. Of course, I would also add to that the astrotheology of the planet Venus, which traditionally represents the goddess, and while it has an 8-year orbit around the sun, which is why the goddess Inanna or Ishtar are represented by an 8-pointed star, the pattern it makes in the sky over the 8 years is in the shape of a pentagram or 5-pointed star. There's also a celebrated Halloween spell of eating an apple before a looking glass with the view of discovering the inquirer's future husband, who it is believed will be seen peeping over her shoulder. Of course, the relationship between women and apples can also be found in Abrahamic religions, which alludes to the Garden of Eden story, where the forbidden fruit is symbolic of carnal knowledge, and according to the mystery schools, is the doorway to divination, or the practice of seeking knowledge of the future. This ability was interpreted by some around them as sinister, witch-like, dangerous, and fearful, or maybe it was just suppressed by an elite that didn't want such sacred wisdom in the hands of the general public, so kept the sacred rites secret and instead promotes porn and other degeneracy. In any event, we now come to my favorite part of Halloween, which is, of course, pet costumes. Enjoy. My name is Robert Sepper. I'm an anthropologist. My published work is available on Amazon, as well as through various other major book outlets. They make a great gift. If you'd like to support my work, you can do that through patreon.com. There should be a link in the description section for those that are interested. I very much appreciate it. Thank you so much. Please hit the like button. Subscribe for future updates. As always, I look forward to reading your comments, so please leave me your thoughts below. Please have a wonderful weekend and Halloween, and I hope to see you again soon.